So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Actually, it means the good sports land.
Welcome, 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 welcome in episode 8 of the Good Sportsland podcast, the Ocho, as they would say in the classic film Dodgeball. And this podcast might be pretty close to obscure sports, but either way, episode 8, the Good Sportsland podcast on MadCitySportZone.com, recording live in Phoenix once again. I was just at the Brewers practice facility all morning, got to see some live batting practice. I had never seen that before. We're going to talk about that later on in the episode, a couple of the other drills that the guys were doing. We also heard from David Stearns, Craig Counsell, and a couple other guys in the locker room that I was able to get some one-on-one time with today. Had a couple minutes with Ben Gamel, who I thought he's an interesting story this season because the outfield is just stacked. Let's be honest, that outfield, we know who the starters are. We really know who that fourth man is in Avisel Garcia. So there's some competition in that outfield. But the big news of the day, and I think I kind of might have spoiled this unintentionally, but obviously the reports came out that Brock Holt had signed with the Milwaukee Brewers. I believe The Athletic was the first outlet on that, and that came out Monday night, I want to say. And then yesterday he was here in Arizona and did his physical, and once that all went through, and then this morning when the locker room opened up, I don't know how it caught my eye, too. I was kind of just looking around the different lockers and stuff, and then I saw Holt on one of the nameplates, number 32, and he was just standing there. And he was like day one, basically, so he was kind of trying on all of his gear and making sure it all fit, all the stuff. If you like gear and things, you would love being inside these locker rooms. These players just get laced with so many different things. But, you know, he was trying on all the stuff, so I just tweeted out, Brock Holt's here. I checked, and there was no official announcement yet, but he was standing right in front of me putting on Milwaukee Brewers gear with a nameplate and everything. So I tweeted out kind of jokingly, you know, Brock Holt is here in Arizona with the Brewers. And my source on this is he's standing right there getting dressed next to me. So Brock Holt's a member of the Brewers now. And later on in the episode, you'll hear a reaction on the Holt signing from David Stearns and Craig Counsell, plus a story about who he had breakfast with this morning, one of his new teammates. You'll hear some clips on that. But the big story to me was obviously the signing and just all the versatility he offers, but as we were talking to him today, he brought up the name Travis Shaw, and that's where I want to start today's podcast. Everything else will follow. We'll talk about practice, like I said, the live BP, Ben Gamel, you know, teammate stuff, Counsell, Stearns, but quick side note, for everyone who listened yesterday and the business center fiasco at the hotel that I'm at, I don't know if they heard me. But today, didn't check out the business center, actually, recording this from my hotel room. But, and once again, sorry to the people next door to me if they can hear everything that's happening, because they probably are very annoyed by that. But, free popcorn in the hotel lobby, and I just got my braces off like a month ago, so this is very exciting for me. I'm double-fisting bags of popcorn today. So, either way, got completely sidetracked. Y'all know that happens very often. But, where was I? Oh, yeah, Brock Holt brings up Travis Shaw, and Travis Shaw obviously played for the Brewers for 3 seasons, had a 30-home run season, and had some up-and-down years, some up-and-down stints, was, you know, playing for the San Antonio Missions, and then he leaves in free agency, and there are obviously the text messages that he exchanged with a reporter that I honestly thought it was a good thing. Like, I like the competitive fire from guys, and it was something along the lines of, you know, a team is going to get a good ball player. He's gonna have a big season, and I liked to hear that from a player. And I wish Travis Shaw nothing but the best. I know some people were upset with his performance last year, but at the end of the day, I think you'd argue he was probably upset with his performance last year, and he eventually kind of just played his way out of Milwaukee. And I think it was a fresh start for everyone involved, especially him, just new scenery and everything. So he's with the Blue Jays. He's out at spring training, but Brock Holt brings him up by name. And, you know, said how Travis Shaw and him are still good friends and blah, blah, blah. So it got me thinking, and this is where I always have the idea, but just full disclosure on some of this. Sometimes I get very worried about bothering people. I don't know if that's an issue for some of you guys out there. So Holt brings up Travis Shaw, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, I should just reach out to Travis Shaw. And then I thought to myself, oh, he hasn't really spoken to anyone from the Wisconsin media since he left. I don't know if he'll want to do it. Also, he's at spring training. Will that be bothering him? And this is probably why I'm horrible at my job, because when I have an idea like this, I usually hesitate. And like playing basketball or playing a sport, something that I'm more familiar with, when you hesitate, you're going to screw up. If you go to a free throw line and you think, I'm going to miss, you're already done, right? Like, that's kind of how it works. So I thought to myself, oh, I should just hit up Travis Shaw and see if, you know, he'd talk about it. And thought about it, then I was like, oh, what if he's at practice, or what if he's doing this? And I do that all the time, kind of in my own head, where if I want to text someone who's working or possibly on television, if it's like an analyst or someone, and I'll be like, oh, let me go check the channel, you know, go turn on ESPN real quick, make sure before I text this person they're not in the middle of a segment. I don't want to be that guy who their phone goes off because I sent them a message in the middle of a show. Like, I worry about stupid stuff like that all the time. And it probably affects the work a little bit, but working on getting over that kind of fear either way. So I hit Shaw with a message and just said, hey, the Brewers got Brock Holt. He mentioned you by name today. You guys obviously have a relationship dating back to Boston. Would you have a couple minutes to spare to chat? And Travis Shaw said yes. And I was not surprised, because he's a very good guy. But also, he's in the middle of spring training. He's out trying to get acclimated to a new team. He's got teammates to meet. He's got staff and personnel to get acquainted with. And so I said, I'll keep it quick. So basically, we chatted for 5 minutes. I did ask him what in the world was going on with his Cleveland Cavaliers, but I edited that part off. Anytime I can talk hoops with anybody, you know that's going to be my go-to. But we talked about Brock Holt. So I wanted to play that audio for you guys right here. And it's just myself chatting. I called him and I was walking up and down a street here in Arizona, because the reception in my hotel is brutal. It just fades in and out, in and out. You can ask Ebo from the Joe and Ebo show about my phone reception, as it may be cut out on them during an appearance this morning. But either way, so just chatting with Travis Shaw casually, and the first thing I brought up was just his relationship with Brock Holt. And Shaw reveals that he told Holt nothing but great things about the Brewers organization. So about a week or two ago, Holt reached out, and the two are good friends. You'll hear all of this in the interview. They FaceTime, all that good stuff. And Holt reached out and said, hey, you know, we're talking to the Brewers. Is, you know, what's the deal? What's the kind of the 411 on the organization? And Shaw tells me he told him nothing but great things about the organization, which I find great to hear as well, because there was a lot of speculation that Shaw was mad at the ownership, mad at management, mad at a lot of different things when he was leaving Milwaukee. And I think it's great to hear. I think it's good for all parties involved, for even though you left a team, you still had good things to say about and would recommend one of your best friends goes and plays for that organization. Like, Shaw's not going to give Holt, he doesn't have a dog in the race. Like, he does actually. He's on Holt's side here, right? He's not going to give him bad advice and say, hey, you should go play for the Brewers, if he really thought the Brewers were a poorly run organization or weren't going anywhere or treated players badly. So Shaw gave Holt, he says, nothing but great things to say about the Brewers organization, and that actually helped kind of seal the deal for Holt signing with Milwaukee. So I want to play that interview for you right here, and it starts off by me asking Shaw about kind of his relationship with Brock Holt.
Yeah, Brock's one of my closer friends that I've made in baseball throughout my career. So we've kept in touch ever since I've been traded, and even like during the last couple of years, I mean, we would FaceTime multiple times a week. So he's definitely one of my closer friends, and he kind of kept me in the loop about how his off-season free agency was going. And he actually reached out to me about a week or two ago, saying the Brewers had some interest and they were starting to talk. And he was just asking how the organization was, and gave him nothing but positive things. And Brock is one of my favorite teammates I've ever played with. He keeps it loose in the clubhouse. Obviously, he's a great player. He can play all over the diamond. But just his presence in the clubhouse and in the dugout, he keeps things loose. He keeps things fun. Guys kind of navigate to him. And even stuff off the field, all the stuff that he did with the Jimmy Fund in Boston at the hospital, working with all the kids and throughout the community in Boston, he is just a class act all the way around. And the Brewers definitely got a good one with him.
you're definitely not the first person to say that either, whether it was social media or just reaction from around the league of Brock Holt signing. So that's obviously good to hear, but you were being as his teammate along the way. What's a Brock Holt story that you have that won't embarrass him much, but might give guys a little something to poke fun at him for?
I mean, there's a lot. There is back to my, I was playing third base. He plays third base. So I'm not sure if a story sticks out. I mean, it's just, he's just one of those guys that he's been one of my closest friends. So kind of bummed that I missed him by a year. I wish he'd have came over a year earlier when I was there last year, but he's an A plus person and an A+ player, and kind of bummed that I don't get to play with him again, to be honest.
He mentioned earlier today, just walking around the locker room, obviously just getting to know everyone. He said it's kind of like the first day of school. He had breakfast with Lorenzo Cain. Is that you kind of experiencing the same thing there now out in Toronto as you guys get underway?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the second time I've gone through it. I got traded to Milwaukee. I didn't know anybody on the team then either. So I've been through it before, but yeah, that's a good analogy. Kind of the new kid in school and trying to learn names and learn how everything goes and just try to get acclimated as quickly as possible.
What's the hardest part about that? Is it just new personalities, new people, new experiences?
Yeah, it's new personalities. It's how the organization works. You try to learn the coaching staff and how they kind of run spring training. It's kind of nice that you get 6 weeks in spring training to kind of figure that out too. I'm sure a trade midseason would be a little bit more difficult because you kind of got to hit the ground running. But at least with spring training, you get some time to kind of build relationships, build some friendships, and kind of get the lay of the land before the regular season actually starts.
So Brock said today that he hasn't pitched and played catcher, but he carries around like 4 gloves and he's always ready to play any position. Have you come across many players in your career that literally are the ultimate kind of versatile guy?
Just a couple. I mean, we had Hernan. He was kind of that guy for us the past few years. But, I mean, I'm sure if you gave Brock a catcher's glove, he wouldn't complain either. So now that he's in the National League too, you never know. I mean, there's some pitching available in those National League games. So maybe he'll be able to scratch off another position. But yeah, he's like the ultimate Swiss Army knife. So he can play whatever, and he plays all those positions well too. Defensively, he's very good at pretty much every position that he plays, and he's a good pickup for them.
And just one final one, if you were giving him advice, he hasn't been to Milwaukee yet, but if you were giving him advice on where the hot spots are, where's the best restaurant, where would you tell him to go?
Best restaurant? Probably Carnivore. I mean, that's one of the best steakhouses I've ever been to. So if you're looking for that, I would steer him towards Carnivore.
That's funny you bring that up. Eric Sogard, I was asking him earlier today, because with him being back in town, I was like, what spots did you miss the most? And he said that Carnivore was number one on his list as well.
It is. I mean, that's a good spot. It's one of the better steakhouses around, for sure.
Well, really appreciate your time today, man. Obviously, best of luck throughout spring training and the entire season.
Yes, thank you very much.
Like I said, that interview with Shaw was short and sweet, right to the point. I think it's a huge, huge to hear that he was able to kind of direct his good friend in the direction of the Milwaukee Brewers. That kind of clears up anything that would say that, you know, Shaw didn't like the organization or things like that, was kind of just thrown around, probably mostly on social media, just as he exited. But best of luck to him, and I mean that in all sincerity, to him as he moves on with his career now with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's out in spring training in Florida, so all the best to Travis Shaw. Now back to Travis Holt. Travis Holt, that's not his name. It's Brock Holt. Brock Holt is his name. Back to him. So he told us this morning that he had gotten here very early to the training facility, you know, first day jitters, whatever. And the first player he runs into, now if you're a fan of the Brewers, you know who the leaders of this team are: Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, guys of that nature and that stature. And the first player that Brock Holt runs into is Lorenzo Cain. And I actually talked to Cain about that. If, depending on when you're listening to this, I have a Lorenzo Cain story coming out that's probably the most excited I've ever been to write a story. You'll find that on madcitysportszone.com. And if you listen to this Wednesday night, Thursday morning, whenever, or if at all, it'll probably be up by then. So please go ahead and read that one. But Holt, the first player he runs into is Lorenzo Cain. So I just want to play the clip of of Kane talking about that interaction.
Saw him. That was the first guy I saw this morning, actually. And just said, "What's up, Brock?" You know, just saying hi. We sat down, breakfast, and ate, and just talked. Told me he was from Texas. Let him know I was a big Cowboys fan. So we just had a little conversation. We're just getting to know each other. And, you know, just kind of start from there and just kind of build off that.
How did I not know Lorenzo Cain was a Cowboys fan? That's on me. Wonder what he thinks of Mike McCarthy. Probably going to have to ask him that tomorrow. I'll get on that one. But Cain also talked about a couple other things as well. The first one being about just his season and what he's kind of expecting from there. So I want to play a little bit more from Lorenzo Cain today, talking to, you know, myself and I just think one other member of the media as we were. It was crazy busy. It was picture day this morning. Not a lot of guys had a ton of time to talk, but Lorenzo Cain always gracious with his time. And here's what he had to say just about this upcoming season and how he's getting himself ready throughout the spring.
Getting his body ready to go for this long grind. Just doing whatever I need to do to make sure I'm ready. Like I say, just healing up mostly. You know, got a good 3-4 months to just heal up, you know, let the body recover. So feeling great right now, you know, just getting the work in, showed up a little early this year, you know, put in some work, and like I say, right now I'm feeling great, just got to keep going.
So a little side story on Lorenzo Cain, and everyone knows when he's on the field, Brock Holt even mentioned it, talking about just how much he laughs and how he always looks like he's having a good time. And today at the Brewers facility, there's stuff happening on every single field today, but one field had some live batting practice going on. So that's when the pitchers really open it up. I saw Josh Lindblom throw some real pitches at a couple different guys. He's actually going to be the Cactus League opening day starter for the Brewers. Craig Counsell said that one today. But then on the other field, you had, and this is just, it was so much fun. There were more fans watching this than were watching the live batting practice. And then the fans got interactive, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But on one field, Eddie Cedar, it's throwing batting practice, right? And it's, you know, he's whipping them down there to the guys. And it's Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Lorenzo Cain, and Avi Garcia. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of personality. And Lorenzo Cain is just holding court the entire time. These guys are taking this drill seriously. Like Christian Yelich went up there. He had a couple bombs and looked to make some pretty good contact. And he walks out of the batter's box and goes, "That was a horrible BP session." And just kind of mad at himself. And I think that says more about Yelly than it does about anything else. But when one of the first times Yelich was up there, and I tweeted out the video, so go and check that out. Hopefully you can hear it in the background. But Yelly's at the plate, and he's hitting a couple that are long and just don't go over the fence. And I think Cain pointed out that he wasn't wearing a knee brace or anything. And then Cain starts messing with him and just goes, "Oh, you don't drink milk. That's why. Like, you need to start drinking some milk." And I think Yelich said something to the effect of, "I got plenty at my house." And Cain's like, "Good, you need it. You got to get those strong bones," because obviously Yelly had the knee injury. But then Cain said something of, "Not whole milk." Or he said something like, "It's got to be whole milk, though. Not that 2%, not that 1%. Only whole milk will help get your bones strong and ready for the season." So obviously it's just day two, and this is just a small interaction. But between that and any time someone hit a home run off of Eddie Cedar, Cain would get the entire crowd that started just forming. Fans are really out here watching this stuff. He'd get the entire crowd to yell, "That's gone." And then the crowd just started doing it on their own, and Cain would just join in. And it was really just like it really just got to be fun. And then when the crowd would be like, "That's gone," and it would come up short because that happens a million times at baseball games, that when a long fly ball looks like it's going to be a home run, Cain would help him out with that too. So it was just a really fun interaction. But that group in itself, I mean, you have two MVPs, you got a Gold Glover, and you got Avi Garcia, who I think is going to be an absolute stud for this team, and he can hit the ball out of here. He has got some mad power. So that was just a fun interaction to watch from those guys earlier today. And then on some of the other practice fields, Brock Holt did take the field, did a little bit of hitting, a couple different fielding drills as well. So with his thing, and that'll bring us to the Craig Counsell and Mark Adonazio, or Craig Counsell and David Stearns part of this. Brock Holt's thing is he plays so many different infield positions. Someone asked him today, I think it was Adam McAlvey, it might have been Andrew Wagner, but someone asked him today just how many different gloves he had. And my first thought was, This is how you can tell I just never played baseball and would suck at it, is they asked him how many gloves he had, and I thought to myself, well, isn't there, there's a baseball glove, there's a first baseman's mitt that I kind of just learned about a few years ago, and then there's a catcher's glove. Like, what's the difference? And apparently there's a third base glove. It's a little bigger than other gloves, and there's some science that goes into these things. So either way, that's what I learned today. And so Holt plays like a billion different infield positions, as you heard Travis Shaw mention in our interview, and that was one of the reasons that he was very appealing to David Stearns and to Craig Counsell. So here's a couple clips of those guys talking about just Holt's ability to kind of play wherever they're going to need him to. We'll start with Stearns here.
I think he's going to see everything, and depending on where the need is, depending on where our injuries occur, depending on how guys are playing, he can fit in all around the diamond. And I imagine you will see him pretty much everywhere over the course of 162 games.
And then Craig Counsell was very complimentary of not only his versatility, but his reputation. And when you talk to other guys, as I talked to Travis Shaw about, when you talk to other guys around the league about Brock Holt, just the good feeling and the good vibes they kind of got from just being around him.
Brock's, true multi-position player. I'd include the outfield in that. He's played all over. His value has been to clubs, and that he's played all over. I told him, you don't know where you're going to play. You just know that we'll find a spot for you to play. And so that's, it's the kind of guy where we you're going to need it. And now it's there for us. Look, the more of those guys you can have, the better. He comes with a great reputation from everywhere that he's been. This means he's, affected people positively, and I always think it kind of means they feel better about themselves after coming away with an interaction with Brock Holt, and that's a good, great trait.
To me, it's kind of like it goes full circle, right? Like, everyone has a great interaction when they talk with Brock Holt, and as Travis Shaw said, whether it was the hospital work that he does, or just the community involvement he does, or just the energy he brings to the dugout. But then Shaw also tells Holt great things about the Brewers organization. So you have all these people kind of vouching for one another, and I think that's what creates a great environment. It's going to create a great relationship for the players, and that's some of the thing that Holt talked about today. Is he said he was weighing options with a couple of different teams as things started to heat up over the past week or so, but he adds in that he just thought Milwaukee is the place, when you look at the roster and you look at the teammates, that he could possibly be the happiest overall.
Other teams that were close, but after weighing my options and looking at the roster that the Brewers had, I just felt like this is a place that I would be happiest. That's important to me. It's not all about, the money's great and everything, but at the end of the day, man, I want to be happy where I'm at, and I want to be able to build relationships and have fun with my teammates. And just looking at this roster, I thought I would be able to do that here, be comfortable and be happy.
So that was pretty much day two at spring training for the Milwaukee Brewers. Live batting practice, couple fielding drills, picture day for the team, which kind of just limited what we were able to do. But they also have some really cool stuff coming up, so the fans will be entertained at Miller Park this season. That's for sure. Brock Holt was definitely the story of the day. Caught a bunch of different drills. I also tweeted out a video of catchers going through their catching drills, but doing it while on a balance beam. And it looked like your quads would just be jacked after something like that. So that part was pretty cool as well. Thanks again for listening to the Good Sportsland podcast here on MadCitySportsZone.com. As we wrap up today, I think the Brewers infield is just is just absolutely stacked. You said, like, the top four guys there, you got Yelly, you got Braun, you got Kane, you got Garcia. And then there are some legitimate competition and some guys trying to make a spot on this roster playing in the outfield. Ben Gamel, who's been on the Major League roster, got sent down obviously a few different times, but has played big innings for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's going to be a bubble guy. Keon Broxton's back in camp, who I'm going to try to talk to again at some point. Even a young guy like a Corey Ray, who can play all over the outfield. Those are the competition there, and I'm definitely forgetting a few people. Brock Holt's versatile. He can get put out there, and I'm definitely forgetting a few people there, but they're absolutely stacked out there. So I thought talking to Ben Gamel would be kind of beneficial, because as a competitor, I wanted to know kind of where his head is at. So we'll end things with that. Just a couple quick minutes today with Brewers outfielder Ben Gamel. And it starts with me. Oh, wait. Before I forget, Ben Gamble's not the only person I talk to. I'm really mad at myself for this one. Every day, as we've seen since I've been out in Phoenix, there's been a mistake of some sort. Today's mistake was I recorded one-on-one. I probably went like 7 to 10 minutes, too, talking to Eric Sogard. Because who doesn't want to talk to Eric Sogard? He was also wearing a Strikeout Cancer t-shirt, and I loved that. But talking to Eric Sogard, and we didn't really talk about baseball too much. We talked about his family getting back to Milwaukee at some point. I asked him where the hot spots were that he missed going to, and he shouted out Screaming Tuna and Carnivore downtown for steaks. So we were just talking about random things like that, and it was a really good and fun conversation. And then when the interview wrapped up, I shook hands with Eric Sogard. Guess what button I didn't hit on my phone? The record button. So I had 0 minutes and 0 seconds of that interview recorded. So I was standing there talking to him, holding my phone like a moron because I was, you know, I use it as a microphone. It's a recording app that's great. It works perfectly. And it doesn't work if you don't hit record. So learned that one the hard way today. That sucked. Especially because I got into the whole nerd power thing with Eric Sogard, and we were talking about it, and then I asked him what the nerdiest thing about him was, and I really thought he was going to drop some, I dress up as Frodo from Lord of the Rings, or he has seen every Star Wars movie 50,000 times, something that like you would equate with being nerdy. And dude just told me, he's like, I have glasses. And I was like, I'm one of the rare people who don't have glasses, and that's the nerdiest thing about you. And he's like, yeah, I kind of just started out in Oakland, and it's really gone from there. But he's one of the few people that play in glasses, so I guess he's got that going for him. But yeah, I really thought he was going to drop a, what's the game, Settlers of Catan, something like that, nerd power, no. It wasn't even like he's a comic book freak. He's just a dude. He seems like a very nice guy. Got a wife, kids. Like, Eric Sogard just seems super chill, but you'll hear none of that because I'm dumb. Pretty simple. You will hear me correcting myself and making sure, and this is why this interview probably sucks too, but I checked about 400 times during the interview, and it's only like 3 or 4 minutes, that I was still recording. So here I start with Ben Gamble talking to him about the competition in the outfield.
No doubt about it. You know, everyone is very familiar with each other out there, you know, playing together last year. You know, it's excited. Everyone's in shape. Lil Kane looks great. So,
yeah, he was saying his biggest thing on the spring training, just getting through healthy. Is that kind of the same for all you guys?
For sure. You know, everyone knows what's ahead of us, and it's just about getting our bodies right and getting ready to roll.
So you obviously have Christian Yelich in your outfield as well, and I know everyone knows what he does on the field, but when you kind of look at him as a locker room guy, as a guy who you can model your game after and kind of professionalism after, how much have you learned just being around a guy like him?
You learn something every day from that guy. You know, the way he goes about his work, you know, he doesn't settle either. He just knows what he needs to do, and he gets the job done. It's been incredible to watch.
I was talking to Corbin Burns yesterday, and he said his big offseason, he was planning a wedding, but he also got a dog. So anything exciting for you over the offseason?
I got married as well.
Oh, congrats. Where?
Back home. Okay. Back in Jacksonville. We don't have any room for any more dogs, so we're at two. So, no, we're good.
What kind?
Two boxers.
Nice. What are their names?
Hank and George.
All right, not bad. After Hank Aaron or just after?
Hank Williams.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And then just there's so many new faces in the locker room, obviously, this season. What's that like? Council said it's make new friends, essentially, is the theme.
For
it's like
sure,
the first day
sure.
of school.
And honestly, it's, you know, you go back to like 2012 and 13, you know, we all kind of came up against each other. And so, I mean, yeah, the new faces, but definitely familiar with a lot of them, too.
And obviously the roster, it's just going to be a ton of competition in the outfield. Obviously, yeah. As an athlete and competitor, that just bring out the best in everyone who's listed as an outfielder?
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to make you better. You know, coming out and grinding and, you know, doing it at a high level every day. Obviously, you know, you look around and some really good players in this clubhouse. It should be fun.
Any kind of just personal goals for you to make it through?
Just weather the storm, really. You know, keep my mind, you know, I just try and keep it at that equilibrium, you know, right in the middle and not too high, not too low. And just play some ball.
You've been here now, so you're familiar with the Milwaukee fans and things. And one of the things I always get, like, on social or something, is people wanting to go the guy behind, you know, just the baseball player. So what's something about you that people wouldn't know that you're, like, interested, like, hobby-wise?
I fish and surf all off-season.
Surfing, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I grew up doing it. Anything around the water.
Okay. So. Very cool. All right, thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate your time. And there was my conversation in the Brewers Clubhouse this morning with Ben Gamel, as he's obviously trying to make the team. And interesting that he does a bunch of water stuff. He told me after surfing was one of the things he does as well, too. And I told him after surfing is the most sore ever I've been, ever in my entire life. Just like not even wanting to move, kind of sore. It's a different type of workout, different types of muscles, but it's some of the most fun that you can have. So big thanks to everyone for listening to today's episode, day two for myself out here in spring training with the Milwaukee Brewers. Big, 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 big thanks to Travis Shaw for hopping on earlier on in the episode to talk about his boy Brock Holt. And hopefully between the letter of recommendation he essentially gave Holt on the Milwaukee Brewers and him willing to talk to some Wisconsin media, that we clear the air on all of the he didn't like the organization nonsense talk, because I think everything worked out great for all parties involved, Shaw, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Milwaukee Brewers, as they have now added some depth between Jed Jericho, Eric Sogard, and now Brock Holt to that third base position. So once again, thanks again for listening. Follow along on Twitter, and we'll be back at it tomorrow, day three, for myself being out here in spring training with the Milwaukee Brewers. Take care.